Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, if you're at home, let's go ahead and stand up, stretch out those legs, and the pastor's going to preach tonight. You know, don't get used to this one-hour service stuff. I'm telling you, I think we're going to extend our services when we get back to normal, to an hour and a half, but I'm just teasing. But stretch out, maybe put your arms up, out, crack your back a little bit. There we go. Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read a few verses here together. We are now in the 11th message, my 11th message on our series, What is on Your Mind? What's on your mind? And what a tremendous blessing this series has been to me personally. Really enjoyed preaching it. And I believe tonight that the message is very timely, and it matches, goes along with what's happening right now around us. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. So, are you at Ephesians chapter number 4? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I hope you said amen at home. All right, Ephesians chapter number 4, if you go to verse number 11. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And we just read a portion of scripture here that I believe is very important to the church. Censored mind, the censored mind. It would be silly tonight for me to ask you the question, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Of course, everybody has the same thing on their mind tonight because our whole life is being affected by it. Everything that we do and everything that's happening is being affected. That was a Freudian slip right there. Affected by it. And of course, that's the coronavirus and all the things taking place. But tonight, I want to issue an official warning to every single Christian who listens to this message, a warning to you. Here is the warning. The devil loves it. He absolutely loves it when our routines, our schedules, and our regular way of life gets messed up. He loves it. Why? Why? Because the devil uses confusion. He uses our schedules being off. He uses things like this to an advantage. He strikes when we are least expecting it, and right now, not being able to sit in church, fellowship with God's people, not going to Sunday school, not being able to be a part of soul winning and service and things of that nature, now is the perfect opportunity for the devil to get into our business. And so just a warning tonight, more than ever, we must recognize that we need to be walking with the Lord, more than ever. Right now is a time where we can recognize that we are truly blessed. And how much church is important to us. I don't know about you, but more than ever, I recognize the importance of church and the importance of seeing God's people in fellowship. I hope that's a lesson that we're learning right now. But if we're going to see that we are feeling God's blessings and walking with the Lord, if we're going to see that versus seeing the devil working in our lives, then we must take heed and listen to this message tonight. This message is going to help us either keep from the devil attacking us, or it's going to help us to recognize the blessings that God has. And so tonight, the message is very important, and the message is about censoring the information and things that come into our minds. and how important it is that we biblically and in a Christ-like way, we censor the things that come into our hearts and into our minds. And so tonight, I want to ask and answer three questions. Ask and answer three questions about censoring things that come into our minds. The first question is this: how do we censor our minds? How? How do we do that? The second question is why? Why do we censor our minds? And then the third question, and we'll answer these as well, is who should censor our minds? Would you join me in prayer at home? Join me in prayer tonight as we ask the Lord to help us with this message. Lord, I have not yet, Lord, been on the couch and watched an entire church service. And so, Lord, I don't know necessarily the challenges of distractions there, but I'm sure there are many having to use the restroom and everything else. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to discipline ourselves, Lord, to listen to the message and allow it to affect our hearts tonight, because how important, how vital this message is right now. And Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you're standing at home, but if you are, you can sit down now, amen, and get your coffee cup. You know, that's one privilege, one blessing, is you could actually eat popcorn while I'm preaching, amen? All right, so tonight I want to illustrate what it means to censor. Now, to censor really means to filter. And so tonight I have two different filters with me. And can you see me on the live stream there? Is that all right? Good. And so we have a clean filter and we have a dirty filter. Now, when you censor something, it's like filtering something. And we ought to filter what goes in and out of our minds. Now, at home, you have one of these probably, and you probably haven't changed it in a year if you're like me. And it's probably worse than this. But if you're at home tonight, you have one of these in your air conditioning system. What is the purpose of these air filters? The purpose is to allow air through the filter, but to capture all of the bad stuff, all of the dirt, hopefully the pollen. Can I get a witness there? Hopefully any kind of dirt particles and things like that. And so that's the purpose of a filter, is to allow the good stuff, the vital stuff through, but to catch the impurities, to catch the things, to trap the things that are unwanted that we don't want. Think about your coffee filter. I don't know if there's any coffee drinkers. Brother Asprelli doesn't drink coffee. We're hoping he gets saved one of these days. But I know you probably have a coffee filter at home. And if you're like me, I'm not a big fan of coffee grounds in my coffee. I don't really particularly like that. And you might like that. I don't know. You probably put it in their corner of your mouth like that. Anyway, most people don't like that. And so they have a coffee filter. It allows the water to go through and it doesn't allow other things to go through. And I also think right now of all the masks people are wearing, as they're wearing masks, medical masks, because they need to breathe. That's kind of important, to breathe, but they don't want, you know, viruses and things going through the mask. And so we understand the concept of a filter in many areas, but tonight, may I say, that our minds, they must be censored. There are things that we should not allow into our minds, into our hearts. And so there is a lot of information that we are taking in every single day. Whether it's through the radio or reading or at work or on the internet or whatever the case is, talking to people, we take in a lot of information, and some information and a lot of information is vital. It's necessary. Reading is good for you. It's good to expand your mind. It's good to grow and to learn. But may I say tonight, there's a lot of vital information that comes in, but there are good things that we want in and there are not so good things that we want to keep out. And so tonight, I believe that is important right now that we realize how important it is that we censor the things that we're reading, we censor the things that we're watching, we censor the things that we are believing and repeating and listening to, because right now we're stuck at home and we're flipping through Facebook constantly. We are we're watching things, a lot of television, reading books and things like that right now. And we do that normally anyway, but even so right now. And so we need to be careful and censor what's coming into our minds. I think about my family, and I have four boys at home, and I have a five-year-old. I have other kids up to 14 years old. And I have a five-year-old. I have a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 14-year-old. And my five-year-old is at a different stage in life than my 14-year-old. And how many parents know what I'm talking about? and my 14-year-old and my 5-year-old have different interests right now. And I got to be careful at every stage of their life, my wife and I, what we allow into our home. And there's movies out there and there's philosophies out there that we should censor. And by the way, parents, if you're listening tonight, what camera am I on? I'm on the back one or this one right now. I'm on this one. Look at my eyeballs right here. Amen. Parents, you have the right to censor what goes on in your home.
Amen.
You have the right. Am I on this camera right here? Still? Look at my eyeballs. Can you still see me? You have the right to censor what goes on in your home. You have that right. And so if the kids don't like you don't like a show and your kids want to watch it, you have the right. Kids, listen to me, all the kids that are listening, listen to what Pastor's saying. Parents have the right to say, no, we're not going to watch this show. What? What? Why? Why? Because I just don't like it. I hope at home you're saying amen, Mom. Amen. Wave a hanky. Throw a spoon at the TV. Something. Amen. All I'm trying to say is we got to censor some things. All right, I need to hurry or I'll get preaching and then I'll never quit. All right, so number one here. Number one, first question, how do we censor our mind? How do we do this? How do we censor our mind? By the way, we emailed out the notes today. If you're not getting these emails, I think it's important that you get those. And so let Brother Asprey or myself or somebody know. We'll get that to you. So number one, how do we censor our mind? Look at what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We'll explain what that word means in a minute. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of fullness of Christ. There are multiple ways to filter our minds, of course. I could list many tonight how we can filter our minds. I'm not going to get uber specific tonight, but I'm going to give you two broad categories that I think are extremely important when it comes to filtering what we allow into our minds and into our hearts. And so in this passage of Scripture, I want to point out the first way tonight, even though, of course, God's Word helps filter what comes in and out of our minds, our parents, if we're a teenager or a young person. Passage tonight, and for the sake of the message, I want to stick to two categories. So number one is through preaching. Through preaching. A well-known evangelist, you would know his name if I said his name. He's been preaching for over 40 years. He's the executive vice president of one of the largest, most well-known Bible colleges in America. Here's something that he wrote in a book. I read it today or yesterday. He said this quote, I have never, I hope you're listening at home, I hope you're listening when you hear this, I have never met anyone who was living a successful Christian life who was not part of a local church where the Word of God was being preached faithfully. I'll read it again. I have never met anyone who was living a successful Christian life who was not part of a local church where the Word of God was being preached faithfully. And he goes on, and I am not sure that I ever will because, and he quotes the Scripture, because God hath in due times manifested his Word through preaching, Titus 1:3. It's so important. Preaching is so vital to the Christian mind. Just like vitamins and minerals are important to our bodies for their growth and maintenance, preaching is vital to the growth and maintenance of our minds. Amen. We as Christians, we need preaching.
Right.
I said we need preaching. We have to have preaching. You say, Pastor, is the Word of God sufficient? Of course, it's sufficient. And the Word of God is, and we ought to be consuming as much of it as we can. But preaching is vital to the growth of our minds and to the growth and the maintenance of our hearts. Christians most certainly will grow by reading and observing and obeying God's Word. But God has ordained the New Testament believer to listen and respond to Spirit-filled biblical preaching.
Amen.
We need preaching. A Christian most certainly will grow by reading and obeying God's Word. But we must have preaching. We must have preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God has given the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Why has God given the church these God-called men? I assure you, it's not just, even though in addition to, but not just to vacuum the carpet. God didn't just give a pastor to set the budget or to plan the calendar or to perform weddings or to lead a staff or many other things that the pastor does, but God calls men and commands them to preach the word for the health and growth of believers. We must have preaching.
Amen.
We have to have it.
Right.
If you're tuned in tonight, you recognize that, and I appreciate you tuning in tonight. We must have it. We must have it. It's vital to our Christian growth. The Bible calls men to preach the word of God, to instruct those that oppose themselves, to preach in season and out of season, to rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. As we, as God's men and as God's people, as we listen to the word of God, we submit to the authority of the truth of God's word. As a man of God gets up to preach, and I've heard messages before that I did not like in my flesh. And as the preacher went on, and I felt that conviction. Recently, I was at a preacher's meeting, and a pastor got up and he preached. And I'm telling you, as I sat there, it's like I felt the conviction so much in my heart, I was just kind of bending over in my seat. That's the way it ought to be for the Christian. We ought not ever get to the point where we hear a message and we think, nah, that wasn't for me. That wasn't for me. Oh, no, no. We need that preaching. Why? Because it helps keep us. It helps censor our hearts and our minds. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And may I just say this tonight, as a pastor preaches, and I praise the Lord for calling me to the ministry. It's an incredible privilege and blessing. But whoever your pastor is, if it's me or someone else, that God has put that man in your life to preach the word of God. And your responsibility as a Christian is to listen to the preaching and say, you know what? He's right. We need to change some things. You know what? That's true. We probably should do some things. You know what? I probably need to get something out of my life. I know Christians right now who listen to the sound of my voice, and because I'm whatever, I haven't been pastor long enough, or I haven't been their pastor long enough, or for whatever reason they think they don't listen to what I preach about or what I say, or anybody else for that matter, and they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble.
Right.
Because we need preaching.
Amen.
We need it to censor what we think. Let me give you just a couple thoughts on how we can get preaching right now, a couple practical things. And here we go. Number one, watch all live services. Watch them all. You say, Pastor, you preach a long time. All right, I need to hurry up, right? Watch all live services. Number two, be a part of special preaching services. I put this in my notes because next week we're going to have a revival, our first ever, Brother Asprilly, the first ever live revival service. We're going to have a live revival service next Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Brother Justin Cooper is going to preach, and you will enjoy him, but be a part of that. Next, if you need more, if you want more and you desire more, contact Brother Asprilly, contact Brother Gonzalez, one of our staff, send the church an email and say, hey, can you recommend any preachers, any churches? I wouldn't just go online and type in, whatever. You're going to end up with some strange rangers, as my dad always says, strange rangers. All right, so first, our minds get filtered, helps get filtered through preaching. How else? Next, letter B, through perfecting. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You at home tonight, me here, us here tonight, we are part of the body of Christ. And the job of the pastor is to preach his guts out every week. Why? So that we as a body can be edified. That word edified means built up. It means to be built in Christ, and we are to be edified as the body of Christ. What preaching and teaching does for the Christian mind is it filters it so that it can be perfected. Now, this word here, perfection or perfecting, is the word that means to completely furnish or to make ready or to bring to maturity. What preaching does is it helps mature our minds. It helps mature us. Once in a while, I'll get a weird idea. I don't know if about you, but I might get a strange idea, and I might be getting off in the left field or right field, who knows, some field somewhere, and you do the same thing, and I'll hear a message, and God will use that message to bring me back to where I need to be. And you know what I'm talking about tonight. Preaching helps mature us. It answers questions. It calms fears. It helps bring to the surface hidden agendas. It helps break away our sinful dispositions. It chips away at our pride. It cuts down to the bone as the Word of God is preached as a two-edged sword. It helps us become self-aware, what we really think, what we really believe, and it gets to the quick. Preaching is good for us, but it helps us to be perfected, to mature us. So how do we keep our minds censored through preaching of God's Word and through the perfecting and maturing to the knowledge of the truth? How do we do that? We do that through preaching and through perfecting. So next question tonight, I need to move quickly here. Next question is, why? Why do we censor our minds? Why? You might think to yourself, Pastor, I'm a smart person and God's, you know, I have the Holy Spirit in me, and those things may be true. There are people listening tonight, my wife included, who's much smarter than me and much more intelligent than me. But it's not necessarily tonight about intelligence. It's not necessarily tonight about wisdom. Why do we need to censor our minds? Look at verse 14. That henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, Christ, all things, which is the head, even Christ. So letter A here, letter A, why? Letter A, for permanence, for permanence. So we're not tossed to and fro, Paul says. I love what he says here. He gives us a vivid illustration. I was trying to think of an illustration to use tonight. Excuse me. So I actually took some video. I'm not going to show it because I don't want to show this. You know, I look chubby in the shirt that I'm wearing. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to show the video tonight. But I took a video of me tossing my kids around. And how many of you dads, you do that at home? You throw your kids on the bed, you throw them on the couch, you know, you throw them outside, whatever, you're throwing them around. And as I think about this, as being children tossed to and fro, I think about when I throw Callum on the bed, I just kind of toss him. He loves it. He begs for more. Please, again. Of course, mom's over there like, you know, stop doing that. But anyways, I throw them across the room. They love that. Kids love to be tossed. I asked my son, Ethan, he's 14. He's about this tall. And he's just about taller than me. And I said, Ethan, could you pick me up and toss me into the bed? And he broke one of my ribs trying to pick me up. And but he can't do it. Why? Because I'm a man and I'm heavy. Amen. And so he couldn't pick me up and toss me. And so, but as you think about children, Paul uses the illustration here, children being tossed to and fro. And he says this, by the sleight of men, by the sleight of men. That word sleight means an artful trick. You ever watch a really good magician and they do some kind of trick? I think about Brother Hall tonight. I know he's watching. Brother Hall, you're a great magician. And he does these tricks and stuff. And you watch, and you think, like, what? How did he do that? It's a sleight. It's sleight of hand. And so children, you watch a kid who's watching somebody doing magic and they're like, whoa, you know? And us adults, as we watch that, we're like, yeah, it was pretty good. But we know it's a trick because we're adults, because we have experience and wisdom. And may I say this tonight, one of the reasons why we censor our mind is so that we can mature and not be like those children tossed to and fro, but we have permanence. We are grown. We have roots in Christ. We have grown up and we're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Every time we read something, we don't think, is that true? No. We know the Word of God and we listen to Bible preaching. Yeah. And so we start getting mature and we don't become children tossed to and fro. We censor our minds so that we can mature and we don't get tossed to and fro. When we don't allow good preaching and teaching and the truth of God's Word, if we don't allow that to perfect us, we end up getting sideways. We end up getting all twisted up with false doctrines or get twisted up with false theories and things of that nature. Preaching helps and teaching of God's Word helps our minds and our hearts stay tuned into God's Word. Without those things, we're susceptible to hearing and believing lies. We're susceptible to falling for hypocrisy. We're prone to incorrect thinking if we don't censor, if we don't filter what comes into our hearts and minds. When we allow consistent, biblical, Spirit-filled preaching and teaching of God's Word into our lives, it keeps us grounded. And so for permanence, why else? Let her be here. For protection. For protection. Christ is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. Christ leads us. He shepherds us. A shepherd guides. He protects. Christ teaches us in Scripture. He gives us much teaching, and the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and inspired Peter to preach and to teach to us, to guide us and to help us. The truth tonight is that there are those who actually are lying in wait to deceive. Believe it or not, there are people who are trying to deceive, who are trying to lie. And believe it or not, we got to watch out for those types of people. Satan himself is the great deceiver. We must censor our minds for protection. Tonight, perhaps you could diagnose your own heart. So here's some diagnostic questions. Number one, what do I allow through my eye gate? What do I allow through my eye gate? What kind of movies am I watching? What am I viewing on my cell phone through my social media and things of that nature? Are there some things that I'm allowing through my eye gate or my kids' eye gates that need to be censored? Number two, what do I allow through my ear gate? What do I allow into my ears? What am I listening to? Who am I listening to? What news, talk shows, media, friends, whatever? Who am I listening to? What am I listening to? What kind of music? What kind of podcasts? What kind of people are we listening to? Are there some things that we need to censor? Number three here, what do I allow into my thought life? What do I allow into my thinking? Do I find myself thinking about things and we all have thoughts that come into our mind that we shouldn't. The Bible tells us to bring those thoughts into captivity. But as a diagnostic tonight, what have you been thinking about lately? And so we need to be careful about what we are thinking about. Am I allowing preaching and God's word to influence my mind? Let me ask you this question. Has a message I have heard recently changed my perspective or challenged me to grow in my walk with God? Are we allowing these things to affect us? And then number four here. When was the last time I censored something entering into my mind? When was the last time I saw, heard, thought something, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that. When was the last time you censored? We ought to be vigilant. Parents, we ought to be vigilant about censoring what comes into our hearts and mind. Lastly tonight, so we see how do we censor our minds and why we need to censor, filter what comes into our hearts. But lastly tonight, number three, who should we allow to censor our mind? Who? Now look at what Paul says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even what, church? Christ. Even Christ. From who the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Many people feel like they got everything all figured out. Many people are that way. I got it all figured out. Sometimes we think, and I've done this too, sometimes we think we've cracked the code. We trust our own wisdom. We know what's right and what's wrong. May I just say this tonight? We can develop wisdom, and many that I'm preaching to tonight are far and above wiser than I am. But may I say, we are not our own filter. Don't trust your own heart. The Bible says our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. If we rely on ourselves as our own filter, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So who should we allow to filter? Teenagers, I think it's good that you allow your parents to filter. That's important. Mom, dad, what do you think about this? If you're a teenage boy, use your mom, use your dad as a filter. I think that's important. Your pastor, of course, can be a filter. Your youth pastor, of course. But more importantly than all these things, Christ is our filter. He is the one who should filter what comes into our hearts and into our minds. I believe there are two forces at work in the world today. I believe there's the force of darkness. This is Satan-led. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of princes of darkness of this world. We don't just wrestle against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the darkness, the rulers of darkness of this world. And I believe that Satan is at work today. He has lies and deception out there to trick us and to infiltrate our hearts and our minds. And so there's that force. And then I believe there's the force of light. This is Christ empowered. And Christ is at force and at work today through the Holy Spirit on earth. And I believe that he teaches us in truth and in love, in unity and in strength. And while these two forces are at work in the world today, we need to learn to filter things through Christ. Everything we watch, everything we listen to, everything that we believe, everything that we reject must be filtered through Christ. Whether we live in darkness or in the light depends solely on who we allow to censor our thinking. Christ is our ultimate goal. Everything we allow into our mind gate should be filtered and censored through him. There are two aspects tonight I want to bring out from this passage of Scripture. I believe that Christ helps censor our minds and our thoughts. First, letter A, is through truth. Through truth. Verse 15 says, speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. Paul says in verse 17 of our chapter 4, this I say therefore and testify of the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk. Notice what he says, in the vanity of their mind. You see, there's a group of people that are walking around today in the emptiness, in the vanity of their own mind. We don't need to walk that way. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through this, notice this, through the ignorance that is where? In them. In all of us tonight. All of us tonight, there's ignorance. There's the flesh in us because of the blindness of their heart. God's desire is not for us to be ignorant. It's not for us to be blind, but to illuminate us through the gospel of Jesus Christ unto truth. God has given us the truth tonight. And everything that we intake into our hearts ought to be filtered through the truth of God's word. John 8:32 says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some might be tempted to think that God wants us to be ignorant. Some might actually be tempted to think he doesn't want us to understand everything out there. No, you don't understand the love and wisdom of God. There are things that God wants us to be ignorant towards. He wants us to be ignorant towards evil, but he wants us to know the truth. Some are like Adam and Eve who desire to know evil and good, but sometimes we ignore truth. And we ought to filter everything that we take in and we allow our families to take in through the truth of God's word. Hey, if it doesn't agree with the Bible, it's false. If it doesn't agree with God's word, get rid of it. Amen. So through truth, let her be here. And I love this part, through love. Through love. Speaking the truth in love. Of course, we know the love of Christ. The love of Christ filters. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do we allow Christ to censor our thinking? Think about this for a second. Why? Why do we submit our minds to Christ? Because he loves us. He loves us so much. Christ loves you so much that he only wants the best for you. Sometimes my kids, they don't understand everything that their mom and I decide to do. They don't understand why we don't let them watch this, or they don't understand And a child doesn't understand that. But the reason why my wife and I filter things to our kids is not because we want them to miss out. It's not because we got to experience something that we don't want them to experience. No, why would we do that to our kids? No, the reason why we love them. We don't want them to see something that's going to stick in their minds for the rest of their life. We don't want something to enter into their heart that's going to confuse them or hurt them or cause them to stray from the Lord. And so we censor those things. We keep those things from them, not because we want them to miss out on something incredible that they should experience, or because we don't trust them or whatever. No, we censor the things because we love our kids. That's what Christ does for us. He loves us. And so why does God tell us to do all these things in his word? Why? Because he loves us. Why does he tell us I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Why avoid fornication? Flee youthful lust. Why all these things? Why does all this censorship? Why all this filters the Bible gives us? Because Christ loves us. He knows what's best for us. 1 John 4:7 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 9, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Here's the thought tonight. Christ only wants the absolute best for us. So why would we not allow him to censor our life? Why would we not allow someone to control, to filter what goes in and out of our hearts, in our hearts, if we know that all he wants is what's best? Nothing that Christ forbids is good for us. Are you listening tonight? I'm almost done. I got two more things to say. Nothing that Christ forbid is good for us. Nothing that Christ allows is bad for us. Everything that Christ wants, he wants for our good. Everything that Christ hates, he hates. So today, more than ever, as I close the message, Christians, let's have a censored mind. Let's get a filter, the filter of Christ, of truth and love, of God's word, of preaching. Let's have a filter, a censor in our hearts and in our minds to keep us from getting sideways, to keep from those impurities coming into our hearts and to our minds. May we allow God's word in the preaching of God's word to perfect us, to keep us grounded and protected. And whatever we allow into our eyes, our ears, and our thoughts, may they be censored through the truth and love of Christ. Thank you for joining me tonight. Would you bow with me in prayer? We'll close the service. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, God, for your word. I pray that you'd help us to determine, to censor what comes into our hearts and our minds through the filter of Christ. Help us, Lord, help us to censor what comes into our family, our kids, our homes. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to have an invitation quickly.